we've got here is failure to communicate.
Let's go, man.
We love you.
That's time problem. So here we go, kicking off.
I never would have dreamed in a million years I'd see so many motherfucking people who feel like me, who share the same views and the same exact beliefs. It's like a fucking army marching in back of me. So many lives I touch, so much anger aimed in no particular direction.
I'm just playing, America.
You know I love you.
I love you. Yo, what's up?
What the fuck?
Yes, indeed. The always pragmatic, the always charismatic, the always down-to-earth Canadian Glenn. It's the fisting me this evening trying to bring myself into some semblance of sense into what in the wide world of sports is going on in this world. And anybody who calls in goes on the air immediately. So we have another 1111. But Glenn, how are you, man? Great show Wednesday. I cut the last hour of it.
Hello?
Yes. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Who is this?
This is your best friend. You dream about
me
nightly.
Yeah, friendly.
Yeah.
Yo.
What's going on, brother?
What up, my brother? Chilling, man.
Sorry to interrupt,
man.
I came from the line, and I was just checking. I forgot, and all this other stuff. That's what happens when you do a show after midnight.
Dude, it's been way too fucking long, man. How's life?
Meh. Here and there. Same old
ambulatory. Breathing. Plugging along. That's all
yeah.
we can ask.
Pretty much.
I think things might be crazier this side of the border. Talk to me, brother.
Yeah.
So I would guess that in your settings, you still have it set for Eastern time zone, even though you now live in Central time zone. So you probably set it for 11:30 and you thought it would be Central, but it came up Eastern.
Okay. I mean, not only do I have significant temporal based time issues, I have a laptop that I let default set to any time setting that my PN is on. Then I have my tower, which for some reason every fucking night, and it's probably because my buddy A fucking has a bug in it. Every night at midnight, it resets to fucking Eastern time, and then my phone is on Central if it's automatic. So I am pretty much just flailing in the darkness out here as far as time goes. You know, I have no idea what time it is, which isn't a big change, but that's why. So the other night I nailed it because I was on my laptop, I was on my VPN, and I could accurately calculate. But I set this show tonight on my phone and then went to my tower, and then it popped on an hour earlier. That's my assessment at any rate. But anyway.
Wow.
Yeah. I need to get that. I'll get that straightened out at some point. I've got bigger fish to fry right now, like Donald Trump. So from up it being fairly pretty, perhaps not Cinderella-esque, but still fairly pleasant state with Trudeau as your prime minister. What the fuck do you folks north of the border think about this bread and circus that's going on down here?
Well, up here, really, nothing's changed. I mean, you know, like I've said forever, Trudeau replacing our Emperor Harper is no different than Obama replacing Bush. Everybody thinks something's going to change, and fuck all does, except it's just got a new background music. That's about it, and that's all that's happened here. But as far as what's going on in your country, you guys can fucking have it, man. You know?
That's not sort of the camaraderie, reassuring kind of, hey, solidarity, pat on the back I was looking for there, Glenn. Because I don't want it.
Well, I don't know. I don't know who the fuck does, but it keeps happening.
It does,
you know?
Indeed. Okay, so, I mean, from what I understand and mostly from what I've learned from you, Trudeau is kind of a private school rich kid, kind of boarding school rich kid who, you know, who has reached his place through nepotism, but actually probably has a fairly decent heart and would like to do the right thing, I think, mostly from what I gather have a woman who
supposedly
supposedly, exactly, and I could clearly see her in the role as Satan's dominatrix, like literally.
Succubus.
Yeah. And then we have Donald Trump. And I think one of the greatest things about Donald Trump is, and maybe I'm just telling myself this, but I think he's still thinks this is a big lark. He thinks it's a big troll. He'll, no matter what, he comes out on top. His brand will go through the roof. It already has. He's already cashed in. He's probably already cashed, I would guess, earned from running for the president of the United States. I would say he's already cashed and already leveraged 75% of that. So he's got a book deal after this, and that's it, and then he'll be back to the fucking pathetic, poor businessman, woman, pussy-grabbing, groping bitch that he is. You know, and then so one choice, and then we have Hillary Clinton, who is the, isn't a serial adulterer, but is a serial defender of an adulterer who happens to be her husband, whose ambition is so grotesquely transparent and unreared. If there is not full insurrection, I will be absolutely forlorn.
Well, I mean, as far as Trump goes, the most accurate thing I've seen was an article that came out probably 5 or 6 months ago now. And it was an interview with his very first campaign manager, who was a woman. And she lasted maybe 6 weeks, and she quit. But the way she described it was, he was going to be first out of the gate. He wanted to capitalize on the free publicity. He wanted to stir up some shit. He wanted to make things difficult for all the real politicians that would be coming along. And by the time we got into primary season, he'd be out of it. But what nobody counted on was all the other Republicans were so utterly fucking useless. And there were even more idiots out there than the Trump camp had counted on. It just kept going. And it just kept going. And they were waiting for weeks for it to come to an end. And it just didn't. And now he's got put in this position. I mean, he doesn't have a fucking clue, obviously. He doesn't understand how government works. He doesn't understand how international institutions work. He doesn't understand much of anything on the world stage, but, you know, that's because it's all fucked up. But only he can fix it. Anybody who believes that, I got some fucking swampland for him.
Well, I mean, and that's basically what he is a swampland salesman or a used car salesman. I mean, he inherited what was gifted tax-free. I think it was $50 million from his dad. He's the only man to have ever bankrupted a casino. And he didn't bankrupt one, he bankrupted four. Now,
and it was his fault.
Yeah. I mean, directly his fault.
Yeah.
He, you know, and look, again, like, I mean, I appreciate Donald Trump because I think he is showing a lot of sensible people who might manifest their feeling about what's going on in sort of a very cynical way. He's showing people just this whole process. Our whole democracy is an absolute utter charade and has evolved to the point of it's always been a popularity contest to some degree, but now it's literally devolved to a final rose ceremony, you're fired reality television show. And you know, I've read a ton of emails about Clinton. I've read, you know, some stuff probably people don't know that you guys probably do about Trump. There is nothing anybody needs to watch beyond the 2020 unbiased. I definitely thought it was going to slant towards Hillary, but it's fairly critical of both. There's nothing anybody needs to watch beyond that 2020 episode about the 2016 race for you to walk away with your jaw dragging on the floor, absolutely horrified by where this political system has led to, either purposely or by accident.
Well, I mean, it's the same old thing, man. If there's an angle for somebody to use and they have the ability to use it, they will. That's it. And I mean, this whole thing about political parties, we've got the same thing up here. I mean, we're going through a big process about electoral reform right now. And before the end of the year, the shit will hit the fan about what changes there are going to be. But I mean, in Canada, we have more than two parties. We really have five or six parties that are registered nationally, but it's basically only four that anybody even knows about. If you take all the people that carry cards in their wallet that says they belong to a political party, which means they're the only ones that can decide who runs, who is going to be on the ballot. There's 38 million people in Canada. All the political party memberships in Canada are less than 500,000. So they are deciding for the entire 38 million who's going to be on the fucking ballots. And in the States, it's the same thing. I mean, they talk about the primaries and, oh, the Republicans, the voting was up by 80% or whatever. Well, still, when you add up all the votes in all the primaries for all the parties in the U.S., you count all those votes, well, at least the votes that they've actually counted, never mind the millions that counted yet, but if you add all them up, it's like 8% of the electorate has decided who's on the ballots. That's the fucking problem.
Yeah. I mean those percentages you just talked about pretty much reflect the percentages of people who are still not only just active in politics, but enthusiastic about life, because it means they give a shit in some weird way. And the other 92 are either marginalized to the point where they cannot vote, or they just don't care. And quite frankly, I fall into that category. And ready to take the heat for it, but I just don't think it matters. And as you know, I mean, I would just like to, whatever brings this current iteration of our civilization and culture and construct to an end with as expeditiously as possible, that's what I'm down for. Is Smoker still on the line? I was going to ask Smoker anything about or Glenn. I would be so interested to go up to North Dakota, the First Nation Indigenous camp battling the North Dakota pipeline. That looks like a pretty fucking solid center of true rebellion.
Well, I think the absolute 100% blackout of it in pretty much all forms of media is about all you need to know. I mean, if you've seen any drone footage or helicopter footage of what's actually set up there, it's not some fucking Occupy camp with people singing Kumbaya. These people are fucking organized, they're serious, and they're not going anywhere. This is a real insurrection. And
yeah, absolutely.
It ain't going away anytime soon. Ignoring it ain't going to make a difference. It's still growing. It's growing every day. I mean, they're threatening 30 years in prison for journalists trying to get the truth out. That's about all you need to know.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's another real indication. Go ahead, Smoke.
Can I ask Glenn a question? Actually, both of you a question. What do you think the male population percentage in the U.S. is going to vote for Trump?
It depends where you are.
No, like the
overall?
Whole country. Yeah, overall, like percentage-wise, just males. How much? Like, what do you think?
40.
I think it'll be close.
How many will say they're voting for Trump? 20.
No, how many will?
And 40 will.
No, I think it's going to be I think it's going to be about 52.
52%.
More than that, wow. I guess.
Yep.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well,
and I mean,
he's inspirational, though. A lot of people don't mention that.
He's what?
Think about how inspirational this dude is, right? He gives,
as
like, look at the male bald population in the U.S. is 20% of the country. So think of 20% of the country watching him walk around with that hairdo. Just being, you know, he gives men strength, bro. Like, he's got those votes in the bag for sure.
Well, yes, he does. Yes, he does.
Think about it, man.
Come on, like, here's one big problem. If I want to go out and party with the guy, grab a couple eight balls with him, a couple fucking, you know, of the big bottles of Ciroc at the strip club, you know what? Trump's my boy, man. You know, he's fucking making all the tough moves on the girl, you can then come in there and play good cop with. But that means, without any question, that he is not qualified. He's the president of the United States. If I want to party with him, that omits you from qualifying to become from gaining a position of responsibility in any quadrant, whether it be public or private. You know, so like, you know, and I say that in jest, but I mean, you know, and again, like, like, is there anything that any, I mean, really everybody, well, you know, American culture should have expected this. I mean, the last 8 years, Obama has essentially been a referendum on racism for those white 20, 50, or 40, you know, mid-40-year-old guys who swore to God they weren't racist instead of black guys in the White House. You know, and all of a sudden they're talking about surviving the apocalypse, and, you know, storing dried jerky and canned peaches and firearms. You know, like, I mean, come on, what a fucking mess. Like, most white people, it's weak enough to allow them to fall into during a black person, you know. I mean, that's just another great troll right here, to follow this up with a female lesbian, perhaps reptilian. I mean, this could put a lot of people to sleep, which would be fun to watch.
Well, 6 months ago, Kanye said that he's going to run in 2020, and everybody laughed. Well, you know what? the way shit's going now, he was ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
No doubt.
There's people that are laughing anymore. I think it's going to happen. And I do not think that Trump will make it to election. I think that the GOP will have to. I mean, there's going to be another 10 women tomorrow. Whether it's true or not, it's just, you know, it's irrelevant at this point. The damage is done. Paul Ryan, they're going to keep Pence as the vice president. They're going to pick Paul Ryan as the GOP candidate. He was just up here in Madison today, and it sounded like they pulled the all-star speechwriters from every, you know, winning Democrat and Republican president in the last 6 years and paid them a ton of money to get all of them together and bank something out that would basically sound decent to everyone. The Christian, not a lot of people, I agree with. You know, he was extremely rational. I was listening to the speech. I think they've got to be people for to take Trump's place, whether he does something or he's already done something, i.e., one of these women, the statute of limitations, investigation for him, and he can't be punished by law. That's what I think. Democrat or other, I think that's scarier than Donald Trump getting gas pedal on the right wall.
Well, he's not disappearing off the ballot. It doesn't matter if he steps down. His name's still going to be on the ballot. It's too late. But as far as I'm concerned, this is just a script anyway. I mean, this is a coronation for Hillary. That's what it was supposed to be. That's what was allowed to happen when she stole the nomination from Sanders. This is the script, man. This is how it works. I mean, just like when Obama ran the first time in 08. Holy fuck, a black man? I don't know about that. Who does McCain pick? Batshit crazy Palin. Well, there you go. The result is done. You know? It's obvious. Because let's elect the fucking 300-year-old man and his vice president is a fucking insane, dumb cunt quitter. Awesome. Then the next time you pick a Mormon who does nothing but raid people's pension funds and destroy companies. Well, yeah, that'll work good too. I mean, it's all a setup, man. It's all
it's
a setup. They're the same fucking team.
Yeah, it's got to be. How badly could the establishment have insisted that Hillary Clinton be president at some point, whatever deal was made in the back rooms, either back during Slick Willie's days or her, you know, whatever, New York days or her days in the State Department. But I mean, what deal was signed where it was the necessity of her becoming president mandated a competitor, a foe, as absolutely fucking hilarious as Donald Trump. I think you're exactly right. Like, the only side that I can't really figure out is the absolute evisceration of the GOP. That's occurring, unless, again, like I said, they're going to, you know, in the last second convalesce around an alternative candidate and use that momentum as kind of, hey, look, we overcame the usurpation of our party by this buffoon, and we're back, so on and so forth. But either way,
no,
it's a fucking script. The
whatever,
more crazy
man.
Shit he says, the better.
This talk about the GOP, the Grand Old Party, it was fucking dead 6 years ago. It was dead when the Tejadists took over. It was done then already. This is just the result. And the bottom line is the people at the top, the people who benefit from all these whack jobs getting elected at the state level and all this stuff, they're the ones making money. They're the ones that are going to continue to make money. That's all they're interested in. They don't give a fuck about people or laws or anything else. They care about...
And I'm welcoming... Sorry, Glenn. I'm welcoming one more guest to the show. 111. Welcome to the show.
Well, everyone knows this is the trifecta known as Joe Jackson. I'm here, and I'm just going to tell you, man, it's about time I tell on these bitches, and I'm about to tell on these niggas. Now, this is what happened. Glenn is right. This was nothing that you and I know. This is called the Hegelian dialect. This is that the bird got the same fucking wings on the fucking same bird. The wings is not flapping in two different directions now. The Republican Party and the Democratic Party is the same entity of the same goddamn beast, of the same creature. Now, you and I know, to take it a step further, is because, you know, we fell into the age of Aquarius, and the female is above the goddamn Leo star. It's about time to put a female in America. Like, real fucking talk, time to place that in the structure. They knew what they was doing. 5 years from now, they couldn't do that. 2 years ago, they couldn't do that because it wasn't like, aligned within the astronomy and that scientist's bullshit that they fucking believe in. But aside from that, it's both the Hegelian dialect. This guy was put here as a fucking, as a puppet, as a clown, as one of these characters to antagonize the public. Now, you here just to antagonize the public and get the public all riled up for no apparent reason. You're never on stage telling me something sensible. They say you are appealing to a demographic in America that I have no relation to. So whoever this man is really relating to when he speaks, it has nothing to do with me, my kind, or anyone that's around myself, including black, white, or whatever. It has nothing to do with my peoples. Because clearly Trump is not speaking to me and mine. He's speaking to someone else that actually would believe this man's nonsense, rally thousands of people at a freaking rally, and just going nuts. Like, this was a move by the Hegelian dialect. Now, you and I know they speak in their reverse tongues, their reverse languages. A majority of Trump's speech, this is my word, download them shits from YouTube, play them shits backwards on your Windows Movie Maker, and you're going to hear this man is laughing at you guys. This man is clearly, when Barack Obama was doing it, and he was screaming, "Yes, we can," and you played it backwards, and it said, "Thank you, Satan," like, it's really the Saturnalian Brotherhood. No, it's really the Saturnalian Brotherhood, the judges that's actually sitting in black. Remember, the Saturnalian Brotherhood in the ancient world was the bankers, the guys who actually control the money. They're the ones who are actually controlling the show. So they know exactly what they was doing. Everyone thought when Barack came in office, he was going to make some form of change. I was about to slap everyone. I was happy. I was happy that, you know, a person of, like, what we consider to be of, like, ethnic group was, you know, in the White House, but there was no change. The only shit he ever changed was for the goddamn homos, and I'm not being racist, sexist, fucking bipartisan by anyone. I'm not homophobic or nothing. He just gave gays more rights than his own fucking people. So you wasn't there for your own people. You was there for who you was there for. Like, I cannot look at a gay guy and argue with him in some form of, like, reference of discriminatory. Because that would be
in the true form of the show, we are going to jump right into that topic. How did gay folks? I have had very intelligent liberal tell me,
money.
Oh, you know what? It wasn't one trade-off for the other. And I'm going to say, you know what?
Money.
You're full
no.
of shit. It wasn't one trade-off for the other.
No, it wasn't just money. It has to go back to the civil rights movement. where Martin Luther King, right hand man, was actually gay. And when he came into the, when he came into effect with, you know, Mr. Jr. himself, and he was like, they was doing a civil rights movement, he was steering it into this nonviolent, this non, like, let's just protest and sing this Kumbaya and hug each other and sing each other's dick shit.
Now,
was right
I'm
fairly
sure two of Martin Luther King's most closest confidants were Louis Farrakhan, Reverend Jesse Jackson. Okay, so Farrakhan got to be gay, right? He has to be.
Well, I don't know if he is or not, because it's against, like, the Islamic religion to be gay. And Farrakhan is, like, a devout, like, Nation of Islam believer. He's definitely a devout member of the nation. He gives out orders. People listen to this man. The FOI who listens to him is an actual army of, like, black Muslim brothers in many different states. So that is definitely legit. That's real, and that's true facts. Now, I'm not going to say
that is true facts. I mean, the Nation of Islam is no joke, man.
No, they definitely not. I'm not going to sit here and say the man is gay or has some form of, like, homophobic or homo tendencies. I'm just saying, America, Martin Luther King Jr., right-hand man in the movement, was homosexual. He was gay himself. So this division between, okay, let's give gays rights over, well, descendants of free slaves who's, like, still suffering under the William Lynch Doctrine until 2016, instead of giving these people some form of rights and certain land so they could develop on their own, let's just motivate it where, you know, let's make it equal rights for everyone. Let's just say, fuck it. Let's bring the gays into it. Like I said, I have nothing against anyone. But let's just bring the gays into the situation and make it a universal right. No, when the Jews were suffering and they was dying under Hitler, it was about Jewish Lives Matter. They had a bunch of propaganda newspapers all over the fucking world about Jewish Lives Matter. Now it's black people turn. So we've been suffering under the fucking booth, you know what I'm saying, under the gun, under the knife, under the noose around my neck. So you can't get mad at me if I say Black Lives Matter. You cannot. Because if this set of culture of people did it, and use it, and they benefit, why would you get mad at me and my people for using it? So, like I said, it always goes back to the Hegelian dialect. You got to ask, who is supporting the new Black Panther Party? Who is these people that's actually donating this money? Who is really controlling the NCAAP and all of these characters in them? Like, it goes beyond what black folks are sitting on in their house watching on television. It goes beyond that. This is so deep that none of them want to wake up, and no matter how much time I tell them, wake the fuck up, they're falling back into this transition of hypnosis.
You're not lying. It's deep, man. You look into the ties between Iran and Black Lives Matter, Mosque Number 7, the Nation of Islam, Iran, Houthis. We just had those missile strikes in Yemen. This is who? Go ahead. Explain the
Gulf of Tonkin. That's all you got to say.
Okay, so that was a false flag.
Definitely.
But I mean, for the United States to push Iran, because, I mean, isn't the United States one of the biggest sort of, like, hopeful cheerleaders for Iran right now, since we gave them $4 billion and a fucking green light to a nuclear missile? And they're trying to
make that look
as good as possible?
The Iranians are 15 years at least away from nuclear weapons. Before this deal, they were 10 years away of it. Yeah, well, Stuxnet didn't help. But, I mean, it's not like they were real close anyway. I mean, the only...
That was a piece of code right there, man. Holy...
The only real dangerous country in the last 20 years that has gained nuclear weapons is North Korea. And that's because they are completely fucking closed. Because they know what happens, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
you can't blame them though. It's like if I have a nation and I said to myself, okay, I see who the superpowers are on this planet right now in this physical reality I'm living in. I see who the superpowers are. And if I said to myself, you know what, I'm going to close off my borders, and I'm going to develop my country in a way you guys can. The only thing you can do is spy on me with your goddamn satellites. I don't want to have nothing to do with none of you guys. And I'm going to build my shit up. Other nations can't get mad at them, but the reason why they will get mad at them and the reason why they will stop them is because who knows? Who knows what are you exactly going to do with this freaking power?
Holy
that you
Ghost.
Got? Now you have
Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Why do you think I have? Why do you think I maintain an active hydrogen briefcase nuclear weapon?
Because I will tell you why. It's the same reason why America took over Iraq, donated billions of dollars, and ain't nothing been built over there. Now tell me this, right? If you're a country that donates billions of dollars in aid and freaking money to another country, and they still haven't developed running water yet after you bombed the shit out of their country, they still haven't built another school or another hospital yet, what the fuck was the billions of dollars you actually donated to? I'm going to tell you what that shit is. That hydrogen bomb you're talking about is called a structural debt. Now, this structural debt belongs to the bond certificate. Honestly, I'm not making this shit up. This shit is true facts. It belongs to the bond certificate that's stamped on your birth certificate. Like when you've been born, like there's three stamps on that. There's one, a registry stamp that actually has the company registry that you belong to. Now, America donates billions of freaking dollars to Iraq. It's called structural debt. They're actually telling these people what to build. Now, they cannot build schools. They cannot build freaking hospitals. It's like England and the rest of the world with Jamaica and the countries in the Caribbean. They would donate millions of freaking and billions of dollars to the island of Jamaica. And in the last 100 years, on this planet, that country have not opened no new schools, new hospitals. You got to pay for your education, by the way, though, down there in the Caribbean. When you come out your mother's womb, you got to take a test, and this test will guarantee you if you go to school or not. And if you do go to school, you got to pay for that shit, by the way. But they donate millions of dollars to these people and tell them what to build. Now, in the last 100 years of Jamaica's, like, country lifestyle, no new schools, no new hospitals, no new none of that. But I'm going to tell you what they had. They had a bunch of new goddamn tourism fucking sites open, a bunch of freaking whatever the fuck America wanted them to do. So, and then this money now is called a structural inherent debt because you're born on that land, you work a certain amount of money that you actually have to company that you registered under, that you're being bonded under on your birth certificate. Check this out, guys. It's called a maritime law and so forth in your mother's womb before you come out, like real facts. And so say, for instance, I'm born in Jamaica, and Jamaica has a debt to England for, like, I don't know, call it a couple of billion dollars. I myself now became a slave to that system. In my lifespan, I'm expected to pay about maybe $500,000 to $600,000 of that dollars in my whole lifetime in taxes to that pay back to that money that's been donated to me. But because I cannot build schools, I cannot build hospitals, I cannot build nothing that can actually benefit my country, I will always be poor and I'll always be fucked up. So that hydrogen bomb you got in your briefcase is definitely explosive. The rest of the world is definitely ready to blow the fuck up. I'm praying that
you know what it says on that briefcase. Oh, you know what it says on that briefcase? Insurance, Oculus Rift.
And just to
prove your point about the Caribbean, let's take a look at an island in the Caribbean that is loaded with natural resources, or at least was at one point, and half of the actual island does okay. And the other half is absolutely mired in poverty and one calamity after the other.
Yes, Haiti and Dominican Republic. I know exactly.
When Haiti rose up against the French, empire will always carry the torch for empire. We are still punishing Haiti for rising up against the French, for rising up against the English, for rising up against, you know, against the burgeoning American empire. I mean, Haiti cannot catch a fucking break because nobody in the Western world wants it to catch a break. They rose up And they are
the Western whale. The Western whale actually belongs from South America to the from South America into the West Indies. The Spanish actually owns that. Remember, there were three goddamn great nations that rised against what they would consider to be the Atlantic slave trade. See, they call it that. They would say it's like a slave trade so they can make money. It was an economical base. You know, so it would have some form of like flimflams to it where you wouldn't be so, like, what the fuck is going on? But what it really was, it wasn't, they call it a slave trade, but what it really was, it was a war. It was a war that Rome, the powers of Eastern Europe, because Western Europe was ruled by the Moors and the rest of them, and Eastern Europe, and the Queen Isabella of Hispaniola. It was those three nations. Then those three nations came together. That's why you always see on a hazard symbol is three arrows that goes in different directions. And those were actually three nations. When they finished, did had that war with the Black Moors in the 1600s, these guys went all over the world and divided up the stronghold nations. That's why during, like, you know, they say when the conquistadors came to South America, these people didn't last no more than a couple years. Because when the Spaniards came in there...
Boy, that escalated quickly.
Spaniards came in there in full force. That's why they owned that. Spaniards owned the majority of South America into the Caribbean. Everyone thinks that the Queen of England owns that. No, they don't. They say that the majority of these countries in the Caribbean gained their independence from the Queen. That's what they want you to believe. But when you go deeper into history, it really is what it is. Like,
yeah,
you cannot change
it. Is.
I cannot change that. You cannot change it. But let me tell you what can change it, though. That hydrogen bomb, the calculus rift device that you got in that briefcase, we need to detonate that. So we could put a big hole on one side of the planet so it could shift its axis off its pivot. And, you know, we could have, like, endless snowstorms, and, like, we could fuck shit up for, like, centuries and let Mother Earth take back over.
And I know you're the head of development. I hope you you're not offended if I take this opportunity to introduce our newest module to the Calculus Rift, which is called the Fidel Castro module. And essentially what the Fidel Castro module will allow you to do is smoke the finest cigars and drink the finest brandy and whiskey after you indulge in the sexual fantasy of your choice provided by the Calculus Rift. And on that note, I'm going to take it to a quick tune, and we'll come back. We got about 12 minutes to go into overtime. And if anybody's just chilling, listening, Smoker, I think, is still on the line. You got Canadian Glenn and the Holy Ghost, Ava,
I'm
Ava,
here.
Ava. Cool, man. Quick tune, and we'll be back.
Take a piece of America back.
It's called truth. It's called truth. Truth. Truth.
We the last
truth.
Of the vintage flow as we carry it on our shoulders. I keep my friends close and the devils a lot closer. When the freedom riders approach them, they appetizers for vultures. Soldiers of fortune are never no match for soldiers of culture. My flow is so fucking honest. You said you wanted to hear it, you lied. Cause all you wanted was for me to lift up the spirits. Your truth is too fucking ugly, and trust me, the shit got layers. You touch me, you think you're tough, leave us toothless as rugby players. Truth is a soothsayer, disgusting, the true saviors. We move with the gangsters, you niggas sweeter than fruit flavors. The Bruce Slayer, proven it's true to the hide from. You misguided as missiles or suicide bombers taking orders from the mullah, waiting for karma to pull up. They stones, no match for bullets. Israeli ratchets are full of. Got a race in the mean a lie, like the chasing them with a cop car. Like the honor and being a martyr, and the terrorist is a rock star. Dodging the Abu Dhabi, you're dodging the paparazzi. Still, probably as popular as swastikas to Nazis. The cops protect the property properly when they crack a head. Murderers get as cocky as Perseus when they're cracking dead. I wonder what be running through these crackers' heads. And why niggas are spilling more blood than Cincinnati caps with black and red. I take an act of go back to bed. Allergic to the fumes, having a funeral for the news, cause the facts is dead. The trust is gone from the neocons to Barack Obama. America eats its young, from Casey Anthony to the Octomom. Wow. Fix it and mix it up like martial arts in the octagon. I spit the fire to burn down Babylon.
Take a piece of America back.
You will only learn. It's called truth. It's called truth. You will only learn.
death by suicide bomb. Protestants, Bibles, or Quran, or Islam. From Genghis Khan to Vietnam, I can smell the napalm. Rape victims, rip stockings, redneck clan members doing church bombings. Innocent fetuses being aborted with no options. Humans, government ruin them. Worrying what weapons could be used to be nuking them. Jesus was crucified in Jerusalem. Slaves treated like property. To Pearl Harbor, to Hiroshima, to Nagasaki. Adolf Hitler, to every murderous Nazi. To the Gambinos, to the Gaddis, to every mafia atrocity. Child pornography, babies starving to die in poverty. Serbians fighting Croatians in Yugoslavia. Muslim women being raped up to 40,000 in the war in Bosnia. The 50 million killed in the Second World War. The government poisoning the minds and the bodies of the babies that are born poor. Airplanes blown up by Islamic extremists and religion. There's always drama, whether worshiping the prophet of Muhammad or Jesus. Smallpox and Napoleon. Troops dying from typhus. From the Spanish flu to the Black Plague. Today it's the AIDS virus. Bodies in coffins. Political extortions. Racist mobs murdering Willie Turks, Michael Griffith, and Yusuf Hawkins. Check the murder rate. It's human nature to murder and hate. The Catholic Church claim women were witches and burn them at the stake. Pedophile predators attacking. 38 Beretta used by Gandhi's assassin. 16 bullets in Malcolm. It happened uptown Manhattan. A homicide Reagan. 80s epidemic of cracking. Soldiers in action dying in Iraq and never coming back. And now let's
take a piece of America back.
You are with me. It's called truth. It's called truth. You are going to learn.
Returning, we're basically just going to talk about the progress or lack thereof with the legalization of marijuana in Canada. The guest wants to have a laugh about the U.S. elections. I guess I'll entertain that. I don't know. I mean,
now,
it's
without
real
geographically doxing you, you do not live that far away, relatively, compared to me, from British Columbia. And when I was growing up, and I'm sure a good part of when you were growing up, British Columbia was marijuana-friendly. Vancouver kind of had a reputation as like a little bit of a baby Amsterdam. You know, you could go to coffee shops and stuff like that. And now that's all done, right?
Well, Vancouver still has by far the most what they call compassion shops in Canada. Federally, they are illegal, but nobody in Vancouver will do much about it. I mean, it's kind of like in the States with Washington and Colorado having it legal, but federally it's still illegal. It's the same thing.
Now, Mark Emery, wasn't he from Vancouver?
He's there. Yeah, he's
and
back.
He's in prison for life. Oh, he's out of prison.
Yeah, he got out almost a year ago now, and he got deported from the U.S., and he's back in Canada.
Thank God.
Wait, are you talking about Mark Henry, the wrestler?
No.
Marijuana grower, seed, genetic. He's pretty much a genius with the marijuana seed. Glenn probably knows more about him than I do, but he gave him a life.
Oh, he's a manipulator on, like, cultivating different strains, like, growing and shit.
Yeah. I mean, any kind of real research that you want to look at, basically, marijuana is the biggest industry in British Columbia. It's billions and billions of dollars a year. We've all heard the stories about Mexican cartels trading cocaine straight across kilo for kilo for BC weed. That's how good it is. So yeah, it's had a big effect over the last 20 years in Vancouver. That city has changed an awful lot. It's like an American city now. There's a lot of gangs. There's a lot of territory.
Sierra Nevada beer was the first microbrew. Vancouver beers were the first kind of that you could get anywhere.
Wow.
No seeds, no sticks.
No, because I do know that they do make some like great motherfucking weed of it. It's the best weed on the planet. I tell anyone it's called Chem Dog. And the first time I ever smoked it, it was from Mark, the dude who's an actual editor on High Times. And this motherfucker, like, I was lucky to meet him, and he had some of that shit. She was $100 a gram. I was just like, I was amazed that people was actually paying $100 a gram for like weed. But I ain't paid that shit. He was just smoking me up though. But he was a cool dude. It's called Canada. It's like the best shit I ever smoked. It comes from Canada. Like, I could not find no one in the fucking States that actually grows that shit. All these pharmacy motherfuckers got Barney's dad and all of this other crazy shit. I'm like, yo, where's the Chem Dog? The Chem Dog literally drips like. The juice is so like Florence is that it drips. It drips. Like the juice is drips out of the fucking bed. Oh god.
The Chem Dog is top notch, man. I mean, as far as I understand the history of weed and growing weed out west is that British Columbia and the Emerald Triangle, you know, Northern Cali, north of San Fran. That was a simultaneous move of hippies settling out there and fucking teaching themselves and then each other how to go grow chronic. And then British Columbia just figured out how to do it en masse. So, like, when I went to college in Miami in 92, 93, the first indigenous to Miami, then you would get Beasters, you know. You couldn't get, like, Mexican Brickweed, you know. So then you get Beaster, and that was, like, 40 to 50 a slice as opposed to 80. But still good weed. That's why I always compare it to the Sierra Nevada beers, you know. It's like they learned how to do that
shit. But you know what's crazy, though, that in America itself, like, had great weed grown at one point in time in Colorado up in the mountains. Where there was like what you and me and I would consider them to be like country rednecks, and like these people, income is probably less than fucking $15,000 for the year, and they up there living in a whatever the little huts or the little shacks or whatever up in the hills in Colorado. But these guys up there back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, they were growing some shit. Like America at one point in time was literally in competition with like other countries, like with the quality. But I don't know what happened, man. It's like all of these industries came up, GMOs, Monsanto starting to show them how to, like, manipulate the seed and to, like, do all these fucking hybrid strands and shit. And the game kind of changed on them. Everything got corporatized, man. Kind of like pushing out the game.
We can take it right back to the we have a minute and a half left, but we'll go into overtime, whoever wants to stick around. I'm gonna probably have a nip awry and jump on Tiny Chat. But
I'm not a camera up and go on Tiny Chat right now.
Word. But I learned something about weed just the other day that I actually didn't know, and I think I thought I knew most things about and weed, but another reason that why it was vilified was the slaves were taking the stock, the hemp stock, and crushing them in these machines that they had made and turning the leftovers into everything from lamp oil to binding rope, you know, that they could drag shit around with. And so that was another reason why I was still applying in the South. And I had no idea about that. There's something to learn every day. But we're gonna jump into overtime. I'm gonna try to the multimedia thing. Glenn, thank you so much for joining us. I will definitely be on the phone on your show Wednesday. That's 9 p.m. Eastern. With you up here covering marijuana and other Canadian points of interest.
Yep, you know what's crazy though, before you go? The reason why marijuana is always going to be an illicit drug, like in our culture and in this town, because in the ancient world, like, believe it or not, when you watch those pictures of, like, you watching them temples and they got these big goblets, like, with smoke and so forth, it was only where the royal and, like, priestess and priests and, like, the high bloodlines could have been the one that got that. Like, when they said it was rubbing you down with cannabis oil or that cannibal oil or whatever it is in the ancient world, it was only, like, the rich dudes. It was only, like, the privilege, the high priestess. You walking into the temple, and it was just, like, full of smoke. Like, those gauntlets was actually burning weed. It was actually a sacred drug.
I'm Anubis on my 3,769 life. That's why I smoke so much weed. I had that fucking cannabis oil rubbed into me back there in the temples, in the fucking pyramids, Anubis coming back, you know. Absolutely. I mean, in all honesty, though, I think that is a big reason why it was the, the psychoactive, the tilt towards disorder or a breakdown of boundaries, that's the path that marijuana leads you down. Inquisition, thinking about things critically, analytically, challenging the status quo. And of course, no leaders want that bullshit, man. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Get troublemakers, instigators, Woody Woodpeckers.
It's definitely crazy, though. It definitely is. Right now, I just came into the chat, cammed up. Ain't nobody's here, but I think they're all in nigger cat, I don't know, virtual machine shit, rabbit. So I might have to go in there and tell
them. The problem is they go to watch a movie, and then everybody falls to watch the fucking movie.
All right, so what I'm going to do is I'm gonna hop in there. I'm going to tell these motherfuckers get their podcast in here. So I'm going to see you guys in
Tiny Chat right now. I'm going to play a quick tune. Tune into Glenn's show. I would like to start doing a lot more shows. So you get random tweets from me that I'm doing a show on the fly. Tune in.
Anytime I see that signal, I'm definitely gonna hop in when I have opportunity to. Because it's always a pleasure chilling with you guys and talking.
Yeah.
I know you'll be there. All right, taking us out with a song. Len, jump in Tiny Chat, man. Smoker, jump in there. Tiny Chat, loud. Hold on, let me post the thing in there.
All right, later, man.
Yeah, I know. What? Let's see. point.
How long? Not long. Cause what you reap is what you sow.
Yeah. We have to conceal it. So as you know, I just moved up from Burlington, Vermont to Madison, and we have some crazy talk radio channels up here, man, and I fucking trip out on talk radio sometimes. So I just smoke a joint, driving around, doing some errands. Only telling me this, or was talking on the radio today, saying that to be a Freemason, you have to be born a free man, which means there's no black Freemason. Yeah, you heard me right. He said that to be a Mason, and I mean, this is some community radio shit, you know what I mean? So he said to be a Mason, you have to be born a free man. And to be a free man, basically, you had to be white. But there were no black people in the Freemasons. As far as my historical understanding of the Freemasons, it's absolutely inaccurate. And most of the first Freemasons were Nubians. Right? Like, he's crazy. But weren't the people who designed the pyramid, they considered themselves Freemasons? Or perhaps in historical retrospect. Precursors. Absolutely. Yes. Right. Which can be an exaggeration of what they look like, or Vespucci. Okay, well, go ahead, sorry. And it was Vespucci, I think. Fucking guap. Gilgamesh and Enki. Culture on the Nile or the culture on the Amazon? Yeah. In the beginning, there was the Word, and the Word was God. The representation of the all-seeing eye. Oh, shit. Yeah. And all that was carried from the Egyptians, from the Nile Valley, through the Muslim, emerging Muslims. Yeah, well, I mean, and then from the Moors to Italy. The Dogon. The
The Dogon. By redirecting the river, yeah. Well, I mean, they have completely accurate geological surveys of the Nile literally ran right next to all three pyramids, you know, during the height of, now, I mean, I know that, like, okay, the guy with, like, the really, like, spiky hair from Ancient Aliens and all that stuff, like, you know, I'm well aware of the fact that all that is fiction. However, I do think that the pattern of archaeological discovery, the way it's going right now, where we're basically jumping, you know, between 250 and 400,000 years, seen fossils of what we would consider to be Homo sapiens. Sorry, I burned it. All right, that should be better. Is that better? Anyway, is that better? Okay. All right, is it working now? Okay, slow. All right, there we go. Now I got it. I'm like Spike over here now, bending wires. He should be still into it. All right, but anyway, I would say I think the pyramid and the discovery of pyramids all over the world, from you know, the jungles of Thailand to Eastern Europe, obviously to South America, Central America, North America. Well, I mean, and that's what I was getting at. I think we, academic archaeology and the study of human culture has grossly underestimated the time at which people with opposable digits, large frontal cerebral cortexes, and the ability to emote have been around. And we might have even gone through several cycles. You take, for example, what happened to the Twin Towers at 9/11, and you would think that there would be evidence of those buildings for 10,000 years. You know, but in one fell, huge, energetic swoop, they were turned to dust and gone. I don't think that the only thing that persists are things that are naturally geological. So anything that is man-made, anything that's constructed into I don't know. I'm so pissed. Sorry. Because I think I burned it. Yeah, fucking acid cigarette on it. All right, hold on. I think I'm gonna switch mics. Hold on. Blows. Can you hear me?
know that. Hey, hold on.